Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, Pastor Steve, are you there?
Yeah. So we can go ahead and do that. It'll be part three.
Okay, part three. Change is inevitable. Okay. Did you need music or you wanted to go straight in?
Yeah, go ahead and get the music.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
Every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine. The clock ticking away. harder, got to work harder. In the end, it will get better. Lord, I thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day.
Steve Lee here with us once again, and tonight we're going to have part three of Change is Inevitable. I hope everyone has had a blessed week, and I hope everyone has had a blessed day. With that being said, I do encourage you, please grab your notebook, grab your pencil, grab your pen, whatever you may have nearby, to take notes. That way we can actually get commentary or, you know, give your comments on tonight's teaching at the end. If you would like to join us at the end, you can do so by pressing option 1 or pressing the number 1 on your telephone, and that will let us know if you would like to speak to us at the end of the broadcast and while you're in the queue. So with that being said, part 3 of Change is Inevitable. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Thank you, Brother Mike. And brothers and sisters, let's just go ahead and pray and get into the Word. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your Word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your Spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your Word, your Spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life now as I share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more. And may we sojourn in the land of promise as we walk in the Spirit from glory to glory and from faith to faith. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. We've been talking about change and that. Change is inevitable. It's necessary. Ever since man gave up his rights, his inheritance, when Adam sinned in the garden, from that point on, change was inevitable. Change is one of the things. We're in a new season by the calendar year in the Jewish calendar, which is different than the Roman calendar. We turned into a new year in September the 28th. And so now, as we are in October, we should look at the change. You know, it's an interesting thing. Our life, we process things backwards. And so in order for us to actually flow in victory, change is inevitable. Here is something for you to think about. When God made man, in the order that he made man, everything that man needed was already provided before man came into existence. Man was the last thing that God made. He had already set systems in place that would provide for the man. And then Adam came and gave up all of those working systems on a question. Okay, I'm just going to kind of throw that out there, because the devil asked the question, hath God said? See, the conversation had already taken place. The word had already been received. That's why Jesus says things, but we don't actually get the full gravity of it. He said man is supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's been that way from the beginning. God set it up for that. He gave man the identity of being exactly like God. He made him in his image, in his likeness. And he gave him the ability to speak. And then he would say what God says, agree with God, and live in peace. But what happened is he gave up his ability to walk in glory and honor, because that's what he was crowned in. You know, and I say these things over and over, that a crown goes on your head or is for your thinking process. And he crowned him with glory and honor, and man was walking in truth and in freedom. And then the devil duped him by a question that really didn't even need to be asked. And if we had addressed the question accurately, it would have been the same way that Jesus did, because the devil came to tempt Jesus with questions. Okay? And Jesus answered the questions, and then the Bible says, and the devil left him for a season. See? If Adam had done what Jesus did, this thing would have still been operating on automatic. Okay, and then God is trying to get us to get back into that flow. You know, I heard the scripture again. I love the scripture in Psalms 59, 19, I believe it is. It says that when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a standard against it. Sometimes we read that by the translation that we've been accustomed to, and we would say it and put the power where the power is not. The devil doesn't have any power. If we just resist the devil, he will flee. But God, being the same yesterday, today, and forever, being the Lord that changes not, he always has the power. And it says that when the enemy comes in, then the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. So when Adam was being tempted by the devil, all he had to do was allow the flood of the word of God that he had already practiced. See, beloved, God has given us the victory. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I just would to God that we would really think from that position. See, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And again, in everything I go back to where victory already is. See, I'm not trying to get victory. Again, when God made Adam, he put him into ultimate victory. And he did the same thing with you in Christ Jesus. He puts you in ultimate victory. All right? It said this way. We have been made more than conquerors. More than a conqueror is one that was placed in ultimate victory. Okay? Everything that God originally intended for you, Jesus brought it back. We have been redeemed, bought back, repurchased from the curse of the law. See, we are put in a situation of ultimate victory. And when we process it in our heart and in our thinking from that position, then we get to enjoy the benefits of it. He wants us to not just enjoy, he's given us all things richly to enjoy. I mean, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can dare ask or think. I keep speaking a scripture over and over to your heart to encourage you, to enlighten you, that the thing that you're going through, the only thing that's required is a change of thinking, okay? A change of perspective. And we saw that in some of the scriptures that we discussed last time. See, the change that is inevitable is the change back to what he originally intended. You know, I love God because he said that his word will not return to him void, Isaiah chapter 55. But that word will accomplish what pleases him. That word will prosper in the thing whereunto it was sent. See, so when I begin to think from that position, when I begin to meditate from that, this is what he told Joshua. I mean, we get to fulfill scripture that was prophesied as it was spoken to all of the patriarchs. He told Joshua, this is how victory is won. This is how you put the devil literally under your feet. Okay, because he said, every place that the soles of your feet will tread, that have I given unto you. Okay, and then he said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. There shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. See, he's setting us up for ultimate victory. See, but we're going to have to change the perspective that we have, because we look at it and we glorify the trial instead of glorifying the word, instead of glorifying his spirit, instead of glorifying his love. Paul told us to think on these things are pure, if there be any praise, any virtue, if there is a thing that has life in it, think on that. Don't think on the attack or the thing of death. See, but we fight ourselves in ourselves without using the tool that God gave to ourselves. See, he said, and now, brethren, I'm just quoting scripture, getting this out. He said, and now, brethren, Acts chapter 20:32, he said, and now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Okay, please, again, these are things we just have to change our thinking. He didn't say the word is able to make you qualify for an inheritance. He said the word of his grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Glory to God. See, that's how I'm more than a conqueror. Because the victory has already been given to me. See, I'm not trying to go and find victory. I'm going to spend time in the word, and the word will illuminate. That's what it says in Psalms 119, 130. He says, the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. All right? All right. I mean, that's just so good. It gives understanding to those that don't make things difficult, that don't make things hard. It gives understanding to the simple. It is a simple thing to simply believe. I get to prove what the word is in my thought life. I get to prove it there. Oh, wow, wow, wow. Okay, come on, y'all. Come on. Just look at this. I wasn't going here, but there it is. Romans chapter 12. Okay? We get to prove it. See, words do that to me. They trigger scriptures in my thinking. Okay? And as that gets made alive or quickened, then I have to deal with that. That's one of the things I would recommend for you. That's why you meditate on the word day and night, because then God will bring out of that word a quickening. He will bring life that was in that word. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. See, so then I continue to meditate on the word, rehearse the word over and over until the life of that word is revealed to me. And now I can live in the life of the word. I can live in the light of the word. Okay? Because the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding. Light is required. It's very necessary for life. That's why, that's good, sir. That's why the enemy is forever in a place of darkness. He's reserved to that place of darkness. Why? Because light brings life. Glory to God. The devil has been called the prince of darkness. See? And you are a child of light. And as we understand that, and as we walk in that, as we live by that, then we will go from glory to glory. We will go from one level of illumination to another level of illumination. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 that it's supposed to be those that go to a light that increases more and more. See? So God doesn't want you, beloved, to function in any darkness, because in him there is no darkness at all. Okay? In him is light. So he's wanting us to be able to walk in the light, and then as we walk in the light, and that's going to be first in our understanding, that when the devil comes in, he darkens your understanding. Okay, that's why he was able to cause Adam to commit treason, because of a darkened understanding. Something that was now a doubt when it should be something that is affirmed. Okay, God is always waiting for you to agree with him. He's needing agreement for you to work, and that is the law. If you, whatever you bind is bound, whatever you loose is loose. Whatever you agree with works, whatever you don't doesn't. Okay? And so then the enemy will come to us and try to get us to agree with him, darkness, and then we have to live out of fear and frustration rather than victory that comes in the light. Okay? Romans chapter 12. These are just support scriptures, okay, to help us to make the change that is inevitable, to get back to the place of the victory that God has ordained for us to walk in. These are our preordained steps, okay? Okay, steps that have already been walked out, spoken and walked out by God. God spoke them, and Jesus confirmed them in his life, and then he said, now follow me, and I'll take you to the Father. I'll take you to the place where these ideas generated from, where these thoughts are made alive. Follow me to the place of light, and follow me to the place of life. See, that's all God is asking us to participate in. We were not called to participate in questions. We were called to participate in affirmations. You shall declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. That's an affirmation. If I'm going to question and doubt a thing, then I'm not going to have it established. I'm now going to have to live in doubt, fear, unbelief, and darkness. Please get this. Okay? Every time he speaks a word, light comes. And then when light comes, I have the ability in my thinking, long before the manifestation, long before I get to have a testimony. You do understand that a testimony has to be given after the test has been completed. It's a testimony. Okay? You can't get to the money without passing the test. And if I am questioning in the test and not answering in the test, then I don't get the money. Okay? I'm just so that you can see this. We are waiting and asking God to do something. He's already said it's finished. Those are the words that we heard Jesus himself speak at Calvary when our victory was given to us. That's how we won. It was by, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb, A. And then because we believe it, we speak it, having therefore the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore speak. See, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb, A, and B, by what we say, the word of our testimony. Jesus said it, that by your words are you justified. Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 in that area. It says, by your words are you justified, by your words are you condemned. So if you declare and decree a thing, that's what's going to be established unto you. But if you question and wonder about a thing, then you, the phrase wonder tells me that you are walking without understanding. You are walking in darkness, groping, trying to find, trying to find your way to life by feeling. That's what groping would be. Glory to God. Why do you think God sent the word to be a light and a lamp if he wanted you to use your feelings? Come on, y'all. He didn't want you to be groping, feeling for, reaching for a thing. He wanted you to walk into a thing. His word is a lamp and a light for your feet, for your path. Okay? Notice in that, he did not try to illuminate your feelings. He's trying to engage your obedience, because when you obey, you start moving. This I say, therefore, walk in the Spirit. That's motion, isn't it? He didn't say, this I say, therefore, feel in the Spirit. But that's basically what we do. We stay in darkness and grope and feel and hope we can connect with God, as opposed to doing what he told us to do, walk by faith, walk in the Spirit. And then as we move that way, now the devil can no longer stop us, because the illumination of the word, the entrance of his word, is going to give us light. It's going to give us understanding. I mean, if you just look at this, God knows that you didn't know, but he wants you to believe. And as you believe, it will then be established unto you. He will give you the understanding because your belief connected with him rather than your fear and doubt connecting with the devil. Okay? When your fear and doubt is active, then you are not walking in the Spirit. You would have to, if your fear and doubt is active, by definition, you would have to be walking in the flesh. Okay? So then, as you walk in the flesh, you set yourself up for defeat, because the prince of darkness works in the arena of feelings, doubt, worry, frustration. That's why it says things like this. And this is the confidence
that we have. That if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Because all of the promises of God are yes, and in him they are amen. See, I'm connecting things for you so that you can see that you don't have to walk in questions and doubt and reach for things. You can obtain. Come on, y'all. He told us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And he said, now, when you're at this place and you are functioning boldly, you can now obtain mercy. He didn't tell you, I'm sorry, y'all. He did not tell you to pray for mercy. He told us to obtain it. Glory to God. Because when we do that, he said that we would find the grace that's there to help in the time of need. He didn't say reach, grab, and feel for it. He said obtain it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. See, we've got to go to the place where the change that's necessary, the change that Adam walked in prior to sin, okay? This was what, it was automatic with him. He walked with God, and the fellowship, the Bible teaches us, was in the cool of the evening. The fellowship was not in pressure situations. It was always in the cool of the evening. Okay? And God has called us into this rest. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. See, Jesus said, if you're heavy laden, if you got burdens, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-30. He said, would you please come to me? Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And when you learn of me, when you take my yoke upon you, you will find this rest unto your souls. See? He's warning us to get back to the place where we flowed in with him from the very beginning. See? And all of this has to take place where the victory was snatched or given away by the devil. It was given away in his thought life. Hath God said. See? Romans chapter 12. All this was just the preliminary. This is just the underpinning so that we can then explode glory to God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are going to get to the place where as we meditate on the word and allow the word to become alive on the inside of us, we will get to the place where we will do those things that are beyond what we can think, that are beyond what we can even dare ask. We will get to the place where faith is so alive and the presence of God is so real that we will be able to stop the enemy because the questions have already been answered, and all of the answers are yes and amen. Romans chapter 12, he asks us these things. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies. He said, I don't beseech you, brethren, to go get the mercies. I'm talking to ones that have obtained mercies. I'm talking to you because mercy is alive on the inside. Because mercy is the answer for whatever you're facing. So I'm talking to you that have obtained mercy. That you present your bodies. Okay, come on, y'all. One of the things that we have trouble with is our flesh. And he says, if you would understand what the mercies of God are here for, then you would utilize that mercy to effect the change that's supposed to be inevitable. Okay? You would effect the change. By the mercies, you would present your bodies. Come on, y'all. See? I activate the mercy of God, and when I do that, it takes care of the issues with my flesh always being in control. It takes care of me trying to get things by revelation of my feelings. I'm supposed to live by the revelation of the word, revelation by my spirit, not revelation by my feelings. I mean, how many times have we said things like, yeah, it feels like this is right. Oh, please, please. He asks you by the mercies of God that you present those feelings. Present your body. And how do you present your body? A living sacrifice. And because your body is a body that has been filled with light, a living sacrifice, that because light is always going to produce life. Light is necessary for life. So it says, will you present your bodies as one that has been made alive by the light of the word? And if it's been made alive by the light of the word, it is now holy. See? I mean, he speaks prophetically to us so that we can stop thinking pitifully. We should stop thinking, oh, woe is me. You have been made a partaker of his divine nature. His divine nature is not pitiful. His divine nature does not agree with, oh, woe is me. His divine nature takes on the quality of more than a conqueror. Change is inevitable. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. See, again, just looking at that, he said, when you come to God, know that you've already been made those that are accepted in the beloved. See, you don't come to God begging and pleading. When you do that, then you have not understood that you have been made a living sacrifice. You have been made a holy sacrifice. You've already been made acceptable. God looks at us through the finished work at Calvary. And that work was not lacking anything. That work was honored by God to the point where it says that now every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, will have to bow its knee because that work is finished. It is all that it needed to be. And he says that when you do this, this is only your reasonable service. This is the beginning of things. If you're not going to approach God, knowing that you are holy, knowing that you are acceptable, we can't even get things started. This is your reasonable service. This is the first offering that you can make. Okay? And then he says, and as you do this, please pay attention. Do not be conformed to this world. While you are presenting yourself, don't become those that are half-minded and half-hearted in this thing. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to those that are continually begging and pleading with God because they don't know the relationship he has invited them into. They don't know that he has made them more than a conqueror. So they are, I get wishful thinking. I get that. But since he's already given me a yes, I don't have to have wishful thinking anymore, do I? It would be just like this. If someone came to you and they made your favorite meal, I mean the meal that you just are really wanting to eat more than anything else, and they came and they prepared your favorite meal the way you like your favorite meal to be fixed. They came and did that. And then they asked you, did you want to sit down and eat? And you said, no, I got to go fix dinner. I would look at you like you was a little bit crazy because your favorite meal has already been prepared. The offering has already been reserved for you, and you're going to go and start working to get something. This is what Jesus has done. He has already done everything that would be pleasing to the Father. And then he said, now, enter into that rest. And then we go, okay, now I got to go make something right. No, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as one that has already received this, as one that is already privileged to walk in this. And then do not be conformed. Do not be half-hearted and half of a half mind in this procedure. Abraham was fully persuaded. He wasn't half persuaded. Okay? And he's asking us to be full of faith in this regard. See, when we approach heaven, we have to approach it because we know that we've been made joint heirs together with him. That he who spared not his own son, but freely offered him up, how will he not also with him always give us all things? Come on, y'all. He's waiting for us to have a different mindset so that we can enjoy his best. His son was his best, and he wants us to enjoy his best. Glory to God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That when you do this, you will then be able to prove something. You won't have to guess anymore. You don't have to hope anymore. I appreciate hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Got that. But you have now entered into the arena of being more than a conqueror. See? I don't have to present hope. Now I have to keep hope alive. There's a difference. See, when I okay, just so we can see it again. If I'm going to present a thing, generally I want to polish it and make it look pretty so that it would be acceptable. Okay? But I already have an affirmation. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. In him, to the glory of God, not to the inquisition of God, not to the begging and pleading, no, to the glory. Come on, y'all. See, you've been called to glory, not just called to begging. See? The reason that Jesus did what he did is he did it because he tasted of the glory of God. He walked in the glory of God. He did things and he said stuff like, well, it's not me, but it's the Father in me. He doeth the works. It's the glory that has been deposited. And Romans chapter 8 tells us that we have this glory in earthen vessels. We've got the glory already deposited. But then we go and try to beg our way into using that which he's already crowned us with. Okay, we'll try it this way. He crowned Adam with glory, but he filled us with glory. Hallelujah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Glory to God. See? So that's a whole different place. And that's why he's asking us to live from the inside. See? Because out of your bellies flow rivers of this life. It flows out of you. And the reason why is because now it can affect the things around you. See? You're not trying to bring it to you. Come on, beloved. You're not trying to bring it to you. This life, out of their bellies will flow rivers of living water. This life flows out of you. That's how you get to affect change, see, because of the life on the inside of you. That's what it says in Galatians chapter 2. Paul said, the life that I now live, it's not me that lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. See, it flows out now. I can affect change because the answer resides on the inside of me. The fulfillment of everything that I would have need of has already been given to me. I can now prove what is the good. I can prove what is the acceptable. I can prove what is the will of the perfect will of God. That's what he says. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can prove it, beloved. See? Okay. I'm not trying to, please, come on, let's look at the words. Let's look at the words. He said, I can prove it. He didn't say I had to go make it. Hallelujah. When you prove a thing, the thing already has to be there. Is that correct? I'm not trying to go create a thing. Okay? I'm proving a thing. I already have whatever I ask, I already receive. That's why Jesus said that we're supposed to have the faith of God and we're supposed to speak to the mountain and the mountain would remove. Why? Because I believe those things that I saith shall come to pass. I believe the thing that I have it when I say it. Therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. I'm giving you a lot of answers here. Okay? I already have this. Now I'm going to prove what is mine. I'm going to continue to display it so that you can see it. I'm not praying for it to manifest. It already is mine. I get to display it, okay? One way that you can display it is by the words of your mouth. Because by your words are you justified, by your words are you condemned. If you say, yeah, it'll be here, I'm believing God for it, then you haven't believed God for it, have you? See, I'm proving a thing now. I'm not hoping a thing anymore. I'm not trying to make a thing happen. I don't have to create anything. That life on the inside of me has been released, and that is what will be seen. There is no option, because the word of God will not return void. It has already prospered in the thing where he sent it. Now it will do that which he pleases. See, I mean, it's the process of the Spirit is really, really very simple. The Bible says there's simplicity in Christ Jesus. See? It's not a difficult thing. My only job is to believe. And once believing has taken place, now I get to prove what is the good. I get to prove what is the acceptable. I get to prove what is the perfect will of God. He left that for my assistance. Okay, did you see that? He left that for my assistance. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed that you may prove. He left that for my assistance, didn't he? Amen. Why? Because we are supposed to be witnesses unto him. A witness is one that causes proof to be seen. Is that correct? A witness has already experienced whatever he is discussing or talking about. Otherwise, he would not be a witness. Is that correct? In order to be a witness, in order to be an effective witness, it cannot be hearsay, can it? It would have to be him say, not hearsay. Glory to God. I just kind of heard that and I said it. See, when we agree with God, it's not hearsay, it's him say. Wow, you might want to write that one down. That was pretty good. See? That's what Jesus did when the devil when the devil came and tempted him, he only said what him say. Amen. He said, it is written. He already said this. It is written. It is verifiable now, isn't it? And he just kept saying what was written. He kept saying what him said. See, instead of agreeing with what them say, what they say, agree with what him say. Glory to God. Well, you know, they say, don't know, but I don't care what they say. I only want to know what him say. Because him's not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? See, I want to live my life by what him say. See, because whatever him say, Jesus said that every word of God, not one jot and not one tittle shall be changed. See? Not a single, I mean, come on, y'all. Commas don't change. When God says it, the pause was there. It might be a pregnant pause, but the pause was there with expectation. It was not just placed there so that we could never achieve the thing. So he's not playing or toying with us. He wants us to grow in faith. He's expecting us to grow in faith. In fact, when he comes back, here's the question that was asked. When the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find people that's listening to what him say? Or will he find people that's only concerned about what they say? If you agree with God, you and God become a majority. You and God will affect change because he watches over his word to perform it. See? He's looking for people. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a mature heart towards him. A heart that says, this is what him say, and it's going to happen in my life. This is what I'm going to enjoy. And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace. That's able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Bring you into the place of fullness. Bring you into the place of victory that you did not have to work for. He brought you into a place where you can enjoy good at his hand. See? He redeemed us from the curse, and part of the curse was that we had to live by the sweat of our brow. So he redeemed us from that process, and he brought us into his rest. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to enter into his rest. He wants you to invite other people into his rest. Glory to God. It said there remains a rest for the people of God, not the person, people. So he's asking you to bring people into this place because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the people and all that dwell therein. See, he wants everybody to be in on this thing. He did not create anybody to have to go through toil. There are people that's going to choose it, just that, but they weren't created for it. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. See? But he recognizes that there will be people that are going to function in what the pride of life says they should do. See? They function in the lust of the flesh rather than allowing the freedom of the spirit, the liberty that's in Christ Jesus, to be made manifest day by day for them. I commend you, brethren, unto God and to the word of his grace that's able to build you up and give you an inheritance. See? An inheritance is something you did not work for. It is something that the love of another displays for you, reserves for you, that they fought and earned it, and then they gave it to you. That's more than a conqueror, beloved. See? That's the position that we should live in. Because when you have that as a foundation of your life, then you will do what it says. You will lend to many nations and not borrow. You will recognize that you're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. All of the people of the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. Your enemies that come out one way, they shall flee before your face seven ways. See, only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked. You're going to be in the place in the strong tower, the name of the Lord. See, this is what he's asking us to do, wanting for us to do, because that witness and that testimony needs to be seen in the earth. That's how they will know that you are the chosen of God, the elect of God. Because they will see, let's just finish this up right there in Deuteronomy chapter 28. See, these are the things that he wants to do. And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently, not sometimes, not every once in a while, not on the weekly meeting for Bible study. He said, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do. Please look at that. To observe and to do. He wants you to look at, look in, and then execute. Observe and to do. I mean, come on, y'all. He's asking you to participate in your thought life and in your actions. He's asking you to participate in your thinking by revelation, not thinking by what you feel. Observe and to do all the commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you. And they shall overtake you if you would hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and today and your store. Okay, come on. Just look at this. I haven't seen this one before. He said, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. We understand that our banks, that our banks are our store. But he blessed our basket. That would be what's on the table or our job procurement, wouldn't it? He said, you're going to be blessed in your basket and in your store. See? Your day-to-day living and your future. Come on, y'all. I mean, he said you're going to be blessed coming in and going out, right? So that would include your today and your future, wouldn't it? Okay. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse, there's within us. Glory to God. I mean, God is interested in causing you to be able to do more than you were able to do prior to the connection that you have with his word. The word in your life should produce exceedingly, abundantly, above all. When you connect with God according to the scripture, then you are no longer living on barely get along street. You will change and now be able to prove that you moved away from there. You're no longer in Lodabar. See? He said he will command the blessing. That just blows my mind. He didn't say a blessing. He will command the blessing. Come on, y'all. He will command the blessing. Remember, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. The blessing of the Lord does that. Not a blessing of the Lord. Come on. See, I mean, we've got to change our thinking. Change is inevitable here. We cannot continue to mealy mouth and then say we are a child of God. Because he said, look at this. I'm just, come on, just watch it. Command thy blessing in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thine hand unto. He wants to bless everything that you set your hand to. You will start off as an employee and you will become an employer because he's going to bless everything that you put your hand to. You do remember that Joseph, God, it says that God was with Joseph. And then because of the favor on Joseph's life, Pharaoh said, you know what? I'm going to let you take care of everything. Pharaoh didn't even know what he had except the stuff he was putting in his mouth, except what he was eating. I mean, you got to see that the favor of God took an employee and made him second in command. The Bible says that when Joseph walked, people had to bow the knee. They had to give honor and obeisance to him because of the favor. He said he will bless you in all that you set your hand to. So we can't just continue to be happy with mediocrity. We're going to have to do better. We're blessed in all that you set your hand unto. And he said, I'm going to do that in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So then, let's just ask a question. If I don't know where I'm supposed to be and what I possess, can I experience this commandment of blessing whatever I set my hand to? Because he's going to bless whatever I set my hand to in the land that he's given to me. If I don't know what's mine, how can I experience the blessing in the place I don't even know about? In the land. Please circle that. Stars or something. He's going to command his blessing in my storehouses and upon all that thou settest my hand to, and he shall bless me in the land which he's given me. Sounds like to me, I'm going to have to know what's mine in order to experience this. I'll live by what we call accidental faith then, if I don't know where my land is. And accidental faith, amen, I'm not going to get mad about it, but he wants me to be able to prove what is the good. He wants me to be able to prove what is the acceptable. He wants me to be able to prove what is the perfect will of God. Not just bump into it every once in a while. When I prove a thing, it's almost on demand, isn't it? Amen. Because I can prove it. I can go to the principles and cause the principles that God has put in my heart to work every time, all the time. Jesus didn't curse that fig tree and then say, boy, I shall open work this time. He cursed the fig tree, went on about his business. The next day, Peter noticed that what Jesus said worked. He said, Lord, notice the fig tree that you cursed. He is dead. And Jesus said, yeah, it's supposed to work that way. And have the faith of God. If you will say, you get the same result. And in verse 9, it says, the Lord shall establish thee. He shall establish thee. Did he say you would establish you? He said, and the Lord will establish you. And how is he going to establish you? As a holy people, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. See, when you think correctly, then you know that God is trying to get you to be a witness with provision. Wow, wow, wow. I hadn't said that before. He's trying to get you to be a witness with provision. Not a witness with supposition. Yeah, I think this out. No, no, no. He wants you to be a witness with tangibility. And the word became flesh, tangible. Unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou keep the commandments of the Lord to walk in his ways. And verse 10 said, this witness of tangibility, this witness of possession, this witness of substance, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And because they see this, look at what God's going to give them the ability to see. And the Lord shall make you plenteous. They will see a bunch of goods. They will see a bunch of fruit in your body. Some of the fruit in your body can be health. I understand children was the primary thing, got that. But health, if your body needs healing, increase, if your body needs support in the area of weakness, he says, people will see the fruit of your body and the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground in the land which the Lord sware to thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto thy land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and thou shalt not be the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If you would hearken to the commandments of the Lord that he's given you this day. See, he set these things in motion for us so that we can be a testimony. That we would be, again, tangible witnesses, not just hopeful witnesses. I appreciate hopeful witness. I do. But he called you to be the head only and not the tail, above only and not beneath. The Lord is going to establish you. See, if you don't think this way, and you think that some kind of way God is really not on your side, he can't establish you a holy people, can he? You're just still a wishing people. He wants to establish you as a holy people unto himself. He wants to show out in your life because he's that kind of God. But you don't get to enjoy that kind of God. The relationship that will cause people to know that you are called by the name of the Lord. If you still have iffy thoughts, half-hearted iffy thoughts, that you don't know whose you are and you don't know the land that he's given to you, the blessings will still be aloof from you because you don't think you deserve them. Beloved, we need to wake up. We need to participate at a different level of glory, at a different level of faith. Just a day's faith is not pleasing for today's walk. I will say that again. Yesterday's faith is not pleasing for today's walk. The manna was only good for the day that it was in. Yesterday's faith is not pleasing for today's walk. You're going to have to grow in the spirit. You're going to have to walk from glory to glory so that you can display before God the witness that he's called you to. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? He's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we do bless you for a word that's admonishing us to change. Change our thinking. Change the position of heart. Not because we want more, but we would like to honor you in a greater dimension. We would like to bring culmination to the things that you started. And we can't do that half-hearted and with a half mind, to walk in truth, to walk in glory, to walk in honor. We have to be fully persuaded and fully committed to doing things the way a big God, the way a great God wants them done. Thank you for waking us up to the greatness that's inside of us. And now I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Thank you for that, sir. The committed to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and open up the lines and have some dialogue for tonight's teaching, starting with area code 404-394. 404-394, you have the mic.
Amen. Go ahead. You broke up. Say again. 404-394.
Okay. They dropped off the line.
All right. Okay.
All right. Next caller. 470-418. 470-418. You have the mic.
Amen. 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 One of the things that I'll say, because a lot of times I know that people want to ask a question, but sometimes they don't want to feel like their question is below the place that they have presented themselves to be in, or people might think this or that. You know, the only way we're going to grow in the Spirit is to allow God to, A, show us where we are. Because I'm going to walk in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? So then just because it might seem to be an elemental question, you know, that's okay. We don't know who else is in that same place of grappling and fighting with is this a easy thing to do or is it hard? You encourage people simply by showing up and allowing God. So I just, again, encourage you to, if you have something you want to say, if it was a blessing, you can say it was a blessing. If it's something that is going to require you to really dig in, then by all means, begin the process of digging in. That's what we're here for. We're here to bring you to the place of maturity in Christ Jesus. And we're not going to lambast you because you thought you should have been further along by now in the faith. Let's just take it one step at a time, and we'll find out that there are more people in the same position. It's evident that there are more people in the same position because he hasn't come back to get us yet. Because when we look like him, he's on the way back. So, amen. All right, Brother Mike.
Amen. Well, that does look like the end of our list of callers for tonight. Pastor Steve, if that was anything else that you would like to close out on, I mean, what you said just now was very powerful. So if there's anything else that you'd like to close out on, we can go ahead and close out, and then we'll see y'all next week.
We'll just look for him to see him. We'll see him next week. And I'll it seems that next week is the 14th, is the 21st. Okay. Enjoy God and the liberty that God has called you into. Okay, He's called you into liberty. He did not call us into bondage, again, unto fear. He called us into liberty. So let's learn to walk in that liberty. Amen. Brother Mike, thank you again.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks. Well, that does conclude our broadcast for tonight. We have truly enjoyed each and every one of you tuning in and listening to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If you have been blessed by any of the teachings, you can make a donation if you would like, any love offering at www.livedeliverance.com. There you can just choose to click on the donate tab and then make your offering there. With that being said, if it is the Lord's will, we will be here again live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you again here live next week. Amen.
Amen. Shalom.